Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Unexplained Extra, with me, Richard MacLean Smith, where for the weeks in between episodes, we look at stories and ideas that for one reason or other didn't make it into the previous show. Last week's episode, Appearing is Being, recounted the complex story of five young men and one young woman from Iceland who in the 1970s were convicted for their involvement in the apparent murder of two men, Guðmundur and Geirfinna Einarsson. All six individuals confessed to being responsible for the killings to one degree or another, but were later exonerated in 2018 when it was ruled that their confessions were likely to have been false. It has long been one of the most misleading arguments in the history of criminology that no innocent person would admit to being responsible for a crime that they didn't commit. It's an idea that many of us still cling to. That wouldn't be so bad, perhaps, if it wasn't an idea that law enforcement professionals, and in many cases, judges and juries, have historically believed also. Though there are undoubtedly cases of criminal investigators forcing confessions out of suspects, or even deliberately pinning crimes on innocent individuals, what is perhaps most alarming about many cases of false confession is that the interrogators are completely unaware that it is their actions that have helped to manufacture them. In 1692, in the village of Salem in Massachusetts, 76-year-old Anne Foster, a widow from the nearby town of Andover, confessed that the devil appeared to her in the shape of a bird, and that she had the gift of striking people down with mere thoughts alone. Despite being interrogated and tortured continuously for days, Foster had steadfastly denied the accusation that she was a witch. However, when it was put to her that her own daughter, Mary Lacey Sr., who was also under investigation for witchcraft, had accused her own mother of the crimes, Foster finally confessed to being in league with the devil. Over 200 people were arrested and wrongfully accused of witchcraft during the Salem witch trials, perhaps one of the better known cases of false confession in relatively recent history. However, it wasn't until 1906 that a label was given to the phenomenon. It was in January that year, in Chicago, when a young man, attending to his father's horse in a barn, found the dead body of a young woman lying face down in the muck with a copper wire twisted hard around her neck. Police quickly became suspicious of the young man who'd found the body, due simply to the fact that he looked as though he hadn't had any sleep from the previous night. After taking him to the police station for further questioning, it was put to him immediately that he had committed the murder. Having first denied the accusation, as the police pressed him harder, telling him how they knew he was guilty and the way in which he'd done it. The young man eventually changed his mind and confessed to the murder. As he went on to explain, it was roughly 6:30 p.m. when he'd taken the woman into the alley and murdered her when she tried to escape. And on, he continued, retelling his story numerous times, with each version becoming more detailed than the last. Believing they had their man, the police formally charged the suspect, who was later convicted and sentenced to death for the crime. No sooner had he been convicted, the young man retracted his confession, insisting that he had no recollection of having made it in the first place. Intrigued by the case, a local doctor contacted esteemed Harvard University psychologist Hugo Munsterberg for his opinion on the matter. Munsterberg replied that for a number of reasons, he believed the man was innocent of the crime and that his absurd and contradictory untrue confession, as he called it, sounded exactly like the involuntary elaboration of a suggestion put into the man's mind. When the letter made its way into the local press, Munsterberg was derided for his so-called expert opinion, with his interpretation being criticized as Harvard's contempt of court and nothing more than science gone crazy. A week later, despite having a cast-iron alibi for the night of the murder, the young man, who many would later come to believe was entirely innocent, was executed by hanging. Are you always taking care of your family? Do you often take care of others and not yourself? Now it's time to take care of yourself, to make time for you. You deserve it. Teladoc gives you access to a licensed therapist to help you get back to feeling your best, to feeling like yourself again. With Teladoc, you can speak to a licensed therapist by phone or video. Therapy appointments are available 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. local time. If you feel overwhelmed sometimes, maybe you feel stressed or anxious, depressed or lonely, or you might be struggling with a personal or family issue, Teladoc can help. Teladoc is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy to change counselors if needed, for free. Teladoc therapy is available through most insurance or employers. Download the app or visit teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast today to get started. That's teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast. Despite Munsterberg's recognition of untrue confessions, it would be another 90 years before legal institutions began to take the idea seriously. Today, psychologists such as Saul Kassin from the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York are working hard to put an end to this extraordinary phenomenon, with many believing cases such as the Einarsson confessions in Iceland to be just the tip of the iceberg. In the US alone, the non-profit organization Innocence Project, with whom Kassin works closely, has helped overturn 365 wrongful convictions in the last two decades, 25% of which involved individuals who'd confessed to committing the crime. Much of the problem, Kassin believes, stems from the Reed interrogation technique, pioneered in the 1960s in the United States by psychologist and apparent lie detection expert John Reed. Reed's technique, variations of which have been employed by police forces throughout the world, involves first surreptitiously conducting a behaviour assessment by asking various questions, often irrelevant to the case, while watching for evidence that the suspect might be lying. For years, criminal investigators have been taught that anything from slouching, crossing arms or avoiding eye contact are strong indicators of deception. Once interrogators have been convinced the suspect is being duplicitous, they begin to assert more pressure, continually accusing the suspect of the crime while attempting to hone in on specific details. Any details or denials that contradict their suspicions are frequently ignored. What makes things complicated is that often this technique seems to work. However, as Cassin argues, it also leads to an unacceptably high rate of false confessions. Furthermore, having been schooled in the Reed technique, criminal investigators understandably believe they have become skilled in the art of determining whether a suspect is lying or not, which can have particularly disastrous consequences. To test whether this was true, Cassin enlisted the help of prisoners from Massachusetts Penitentiary to give video-recorded accounts of crimes they had and hadn't committed. Cassin then showed the video to a mixture of college students and police officers. What he found was not only did the students perform better, albeit only marginally so, the police officers were far more certain of their conclusions. In effect, as Cassin put it, their training had made them less accurate and more confident at the same time. We might think that, as forensic techniques and DNA analysis become increasingly more precise at identifying a suspect, that the inconvenience of false confessions will eventually become a thing of the past. Conversely, however, it seems in some cases that the perceived accuracy of modern-day forensics has actually contributed to the making of a false confession, with recent evidence suggesting that suspects may confess to a crime just to escape a harrowing interrogation, hoping that material evidence will exonerate them later. In reality, it's been proven that a confession will often supersede any evidence to the contrary. More worryingly, it appears that exonerating evidence can also be corrupted when the prevailing narrative that the suspect is guilty is considered strong enough. In 1987, 24-year-old Barry Loughman was arrested by Pennsylvania State Police and accused of raping and murdering an elderly neighbor. Loughman, who was considered to have the intellectual capacity of a 10-year-old, was told the lie by police that they'd found his fingerprints at the scene. Faced with this supposedly insurmountable but entirely fabricated truth, Loughman felt he had no other choice but to confess. When evidence was found to the contrary, such as the blood found at the scene being type A when his was type B, outlandish theories were concocted to suit the narrative. In this case, a forensic expert suggested that bacterial degradation had somehow changed the blood type from B to A. Loughman would spend 16 years in prison until DNA evidence finally cleared him. In fact, in a study published in 2016, Sean Cassin demonstrated that if juries were presented with a simple choice between DNA evidence and a confession, they would judge the case on the DNA evidence. However, if a prosecutor were to offer a theory as to why the evidence might contradict the confession, the jury overwhelmingly sided with the confession. Unexplained, the book and audiobook, featuring 10 stories that have never before been covered on the show, is now available to buy worldwide. You can purchase through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Waterstones, among other bookstores. All elements of Unexplained, including the show's music, are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplained. Now it's time to take care of yourself, to make time for you. Teladoc gives you access to a licensed therapist to help you get back to feeling your best. Speak to a licensed therapist by phone or video anytime between 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. local time, 7 days a week. Teladoc Therapy is available through most insurance or employers. Download the app or visit teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast today to get started. That's teladoc.com/unexplainedpodcast.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.